Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 77 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Kayla Hall.
We've got a situation where all the indicators, as we look down the road at our traditional means of funding transportation in America, all those indicators are going in the wrong direction.
Kentucky Transportation Secretary Mike Hancock says that's why new funding sources are needed to pay for road and bridge repairs.
Kentucky lawmakers hold a hearing tomorrow on the Bluegrass Pipeline.
And Congressman Massey says no to military action against Syria.
In sports, the Reds try to take three straight from St. Louis as they host the Cardinals again tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear this evening with a slight chance of rain. Low of 56. The complete weather forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A legislative committee will hear testimony tomorrow from the company that wants to build a natural gas liquids pipeline across Kentucky. As KPR's Erica Peterson reports, state government employees and environmental advocates will also testify.
Last month, the state Senate passed a resolution opposing the Bluegrass Pipeline. But this meeting marks the first time lawmakers will formally hear from the project's advocates and opponents. The proposed Bluegrass Pipeline would cross central Kentucky, carrying the byproducts of natural gas fracking from the northeast to processing plants on the Gulf of Mexico. These natural gas liquids, like butane and propane, are profitable and can be made into materials like plastics and rubber. The companies behind the project argue the pipeline is safe and will provide economic benefits to landowners when it crosses their property. But opponents are worried about the safety and environmental problems the pipeline could cause, as well as the possibility the companies will seek to use eminent domain. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Erica Peterson.
A former paramedic with Carter County Medical Emergency Medical Services is suspected of having stolen narcotics from the agency. Kentucky State Police began the ongoing investigation in June after a report came in from Emergency Management Auditor Sam Lowe. Trooper First Class Michael Muriel in Ashland is taking part in the investigation.
Several items had been removed from the property, and also additional ampules of the fentanyl had been tampered with. The individual responsible had removed the fentanyl from the ampules and replaced with an unknown substance.
He says the paramedic was initially suspended from work pending an investigation into the theft, but has since been fired by the agency. The paramedic's emergency services license also has been revoked, preventing the suspect from working in another EMS or paramedic squad. The KSP said charges against the individual are pending the completion of its investigation and that the suspect's name will be released when charges are filed. The KSP is also investigating an additional unrelated report involving the theft of several doses of morphine from Carter EMS.
An official with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says the agency's budget for maintaining roads and bridges is not adequate to keep up with needs. Nancy Albright is director of the Office of Project Delivery and Preservation. She says the Commonwealth now has 4,100 miles of roads that are considered poorly paved and 585 structurally deficient bridges.
The term structurally deficient has been used a lot. I don't want to presume. It sounds worrisome. What it really means is the bridge needs some work. So again, it needs maintenance work by and large.
Albright says the carryover balance in the maintenance and road fund in 2010 was $10 million. At the end of the 2013 fiscal year, she says, it was $4.3 million. During the past year, transportation officials say revenues from Kentucky's motor fuels tax were about $12 million less than expected.
Kentucky's top transportation official says the state and federal governments are going to have to come up with new ways to pay for road and bridge repairs. Transportation Cabinet Secretary Mike Hancock says taxing motorists on the miles per gallon they drive is not a sustainable funding source. Besides that, he says, migration patterns are changing.
People from the rural areas in the state are moving to the urban centers where their doctors are, where the things that they like to do are. And so we're seeing vehicle miles travel, we're seeing travel patterns, all of that shift. And at the same time that's going on, the vehicle miles per gallon standards are going up.
Hancock says the U.S. Highway Trust Fund, which is generated by the federal gas tax, is expected to go from $42 billion to zero by 2015.
Kentucky has landed its first major tenant at a battery research laboratory in Lexington as the state jockeys for a prominent role in developing next-generation automobiles. Gnomes Technologies Incorporated says it'll locate research, product development, and manufacturing operations at the Kentucky Argonne Battery Manufacturing Research and Development Center. The firm is investing more than $5.3 million in the venture, which is expected to create up to 162 jobs in coming years. Governor Beshear says the company's arrival strengthens Kentucky's emerging role in developing next-generation batteries.
Kentucky 4th District Representative Thomas Massey says he will vote against any resolution put forth in Congress by President Obama seeking permission to use a limited military strike against Syria for its government's alleged use of chemical weapons. For one thing, the Republican says he's uncomfortable with the language the president is using in his proposal.
If you look closely at the draft authorization of force that he's asked Congress to pass in both houses, you will see that it's basically a full-on declaration of war. It's not limited geographically, it's not limited by type of engagement, and it's not limited by who we can engage, not just the Syrians.
Massey says the draft authorization also doesn't prohibit the use of U.S. ground forces in Syria. He calls the conflict there a civil war and not a matter of U.S. national security, adding America should not be intervening. Massey also points out that the rebel forces in Syria have elements supported by Hezbollah and al-Qaeda, expressed enemies of the U.S.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul says President Obama lacks the constitutional authority to order military action against Syria. The Kentucky Republican says only Congress can declare war.
Madison was very explicit. When he wrote the Federalist Papers, he wrote, "The Constitution supposes what history demonstrates, that the executive is the branch most likely to go to war, and therefore the Constitution vested that power in the Congress." It's explicit and runs throughout all of Madison's writings. This power is a congressional power, and it is not an executive power.
Paul is a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
The chemical weapons cleanup at the Bluegrass Army Depot might provide a long-term economic opportunity. A new study says the cleanup will create the kind of reliable, well-trained workforce needed by the private sector. Congressman Andy Barr was present as the study was released this morning. With some planning now, Barr says the depot could be made highly attractive to new employers.
We'll capitalize on the assets that this demilitarization project is bringing to this community, and specifically the highly skilled workforce and this incredible infrastructure that we have at the Bluegrass Army Depot.
Barr also promised to help find the $400,000 needed for two additional studies. Today's report evaluated the depot's workforce. Other studies would evaluate its infrastructure and help create a plan for attractive private industry. Cleanup work at the depot could take another 12 years.
Robertson County has a new sheriff. We get that story from MSPR's Shelby Steele.
After holding the office for 21 years, Randy Insko retired this past weekend. Judge Executive Billy Allison has appointed local businessman Mark Sutton to replace Insko.
Well, we're friends. We go way back. We play ball together. And, I mean, he's a people person. Everybody in the county really likes him. And, I mean, that's the reason I think he would be good. Plus, he's a businessman on the other side.
Over a dozen people had applied for the Robertson Sheriff's job. Allison says none of them had previous law enforcement experience. Sutton will also have to undergo a 40-hour state-mandated training course. He will fill the remainder of Insko's unexpired term in office and will have to run for re-election next year if he wants to keep it. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Shelby Steele.
The Mingo County Commission has named an interim sheriff. The panel today tapped Pam Dixon to serve in the post until a permanent replacement is found for the late Eugene Crum. Crum was murdered earlier this year as he sat in his police car in Williamson, West Virginia. The county commission is interviewing candidates for the job and is expected to wrap them up by September 18th. Dixon is Mingo County's chief tax deputy.
A young mother and her unborn baby were laid to rest in southern Ohio today after the woman was found shot in her car along U.S. 68 near Ripley last week. Services for 22-year-old Brittany Stites were held at the Salt Air Church of Christ in Tate. She was 5 months pregnant at the time of her death. Her 14-month-old daughter, Aubrey, was also discovered in the auto bleeding from a gunshot wound to the head. The infant's grandfather says she remains hospitalized but is improving daily.
Franklin Circuit Judge Philip Shepherd has upheld an expansion of Kentucky's Medicaid program and the creation of a health care exchange under the Affordable Care Act. The judge on Tuesday ruled on two lawsuits filed by Tea Party activist David Adams, who claimed the governor needed approval from the General Assembly. Adams says he will appeal the decision and remains confident he can win.
This fight is far from over. We've got a lot more ammunition to fire. The law is on our side.
Expanded Medicaid will be available starting January 1st, and the uninsured can start signing up on October 1st.
Kentucky ale samples are back to being offered during tours of Altec's Lexington Brewing and Distilling Company. The Town Branch Distillery makes 5 beers and 3 spirits, all of which could be tested until last summer when the brewery grew too large to qualify for a tasting permit under Kentucky law. That all changed with the passage of House Bill 315. Altec founder Dr. Pierce Lyon says this means a whole new experience for visitors.
Tell a story about on my mom's side, there are coopers since 1540 or some crazy thing like that. And we tell how we take the barrels, we put beer in there, and we make this amazing product, bourbon barrel ale. And then I say, sorry, but you can't taste it. So I built them up. They couldn't taste it. And so this bill means they can taste it, they can appreciate it, they can tell the story about it.
Town Branch Distillery is the only distillery tour in Kentucky that also offers a brewery tour and beer samples.
And finally today, while summer-like conditions often persist well after Labor Day, this week marks the start of the health campaign against an ailment associated with cold winter weather. The Lexington Fayette County Health Department began offering flu shots Tuesday. Public Health Nursing Manager Lois Davis recommends the seasonal dose, which also provides protection against H1N1 for everyone 6 months and older.
We never know whether we're going to have a large outbreak season or a smaller number. We have the best way to protect yourself, though, is to get a seasonal flu shot. And basically, the vaccine contains the same strains of flu virus as it did last year.
Lexington had 343 confirmed cases of flu last year. Davis says that was about double the number of verified cases the year before. Flu shots will be available each afternoon, Mondays through Thursdays, at the health clinic north on Newtown Circle. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Magoffin, Robertson, and Wolf. Tonight, mostly clear, areas of fog late, lows from around 54 in valleys to around 59 on ridges. Thursday, areas of fog in the morning, otherwise mostly sunny, highs in the lower 80s. Thursday night, mostly clear, patchy valley fog late, lows in the mid-50s. Currently in Ashland, it's 78 degrees. Flemingsburg, 77 degrees. Winchester, 78 degrees. Lexington, 79 degrees. Inez and Moorhead are both 77 degrees.
It is 4:45. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have your company on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, he was a popular local blues artist, and for the past 6 years, he has been remembered at an annual festival. The Colonel Bill Williams Music Festival takes place this Saturday at Greenbow Lake State Resort Park. We get details from MSPR's Joshua Grandison.
Born in Richmond, Virginia in 1897, Kentucky Colonel Bill Williams lived the last 50 years of his life in Greenup, Kentucky, where he was discovered by Blue Goose Records.
Railroad Bill was a desperado sport. He shot all the button off of a brakesman call this morning just for day.
As Ann Stevens can attest, Williams was a beloved local celebrity.
He was known all over the area as an excellent guitarist. He was an encourager of other guitarists. There's many people that remember taking lessons from him, which consisted of pretty much just jamming on the front porch.
Stevens is the extension agent for Fine Arts in Greenup County. While Colonel Bill's local fame was considerable, he went largely unknown outside of his hometown until the year 1970.
He had a very unique style that really wasn't recognized as something significant in the world of music until a much later age than many hope to be recognized.
The Colonel Bill Williams Heritage Music Festival is held each year in honor of the Colonel's contributions to his community and the world of blues. This year's festival will feature music from the bands Downtown King, the Van Sickle Brothers, the Greenup Arts Band, Larry Witt and Blue Eyed Soul, and headlining will be artist Jay Flippin, who's played at the festival in the past. Flippin says his love of the blues drew him to the festival, and he is a fan of Colonel Bill's early Piedmont style of blues.
I have a B3 and I play it very occasionally because it's so heavy and hard to move around. I love playing it, but there aren't many opportunities to do it. So we're going to do some blues-oriented tunes. They won't all be that way, but probably do a few straight-ahead blues and then some other pieces that aren't exactly blues. They don't have the blues form, but they are bluesy.
The festival will kick off at 4:30 p.m. this Saturday at the Greenbow Lake State Resort Park Amphitheater. Included in the festivities are raffles and drawings for prizes such as accommodations at the Greenbow Lodge and family passes to the Highlands Museum and Discovery Center, as well as an acoustic guitar from Music Box Express. This year, Paul Hitchcock, the host of Moorhead State Public Radio's Saturday Night Blues program, Nothing But the Blues, will be presented with the Cultural Heritage Award. Paul was the first to suggest a music festival honoring Colonel Bill Williams. With an admissions price of free for everyone, if you are a fan of folk music, the blues, or just enjoy a good party, this is one event you cannot afford to miss. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Joshua Grandison.
It is 4:48. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock. Sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU Innovation and Commercialization Center. The ICC is part of a statewide network of experienced mentors focused on the development of innovation-driven, technology-based companies in Kentucky. Staffed by experienced and educated business leaders, ICC provides a variety of services for business development consultation. Located at Moorhead State University and a satellite office at Ashland Community and Technical College, more information at 606-783-9536 or online at kyinnovation.com.
The Reds are halfway there. Good evening, reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. The Cincinnati Reds will bid for another win over St. Louis as they host the Cardinals tonight at 7 at Great American Ballpark. The Big Red Machine has taken the first two games of the four-game set, winning last night 1-0 behind pitchers Homer Bailey, Manny Parra, and Aroldis Chapman. Todd Frazier's RBI double was the difference for Cincy, which moved within a game and a half of second place St. Louis in the NL Central. They're still 3.5 in back of division-leading Pittsburgh.
You know, it's fun. You know, these fans, they come, and when they come here, they come excited, and they understand the implications, and so do we. So we got guys that came in that know about the situation we're in, and again, we got to beat these two teams, Cardinals and Pirates, and that's all I really worry about.
That's Todd Frazier speaking. The Reds will send 13-game winner Bronson Arroyo to the mound tonight as they look for the hat trick. The Cards will counter with 12-9 Shelby Miller. There is some midday Major League Baseball being played today. Taking a look at the scoreboards in the National League, One game has already gone final as the Mets took down the Braves by a score 5-2. The Marlins are beating the Cubs 7-4 in the top of the seventh, and the Blue Jays hold on to a narrow 3-2 lead over the Diamondbacks in the bottom of the fourth. On to the American League, where only two games are being played. The Astros lead the Twins 5-3 in the bottom of the seventh, and the A's lead the Rangers 3-2 in the bottom of the third. One member of the Moorhead State football team admits the Eagles likely took the University of Pikeville too lightly in their 13-10 season-opening upset loss. Junior strong safety Mike Jackson admits, "That was a very costly mistake, and there's no way that will happen this Saturday when MSU visits 25th-ranked Youngstown State in its first road game of the year."
"Basically, I feel like we're going to come out better prepared, and we're going to be ready for Youngstown. We just have to put this loss behind us and just get ready for and look forward for the rest of the season."
Youngstown State opened with a 28-10 win over PFL Power Dayton last Saturday. The Penguins rang up 364 yards rushing against the normally stout Flyers defense. The Cincinnati Bengals are preparing for their first football game, and it isn't going to be an easy one. The Bengals will open up the season on the road in Chicago as they square off with the Bears. Cincinnati's Marvin Lewis is the NFL's second longest tenured coach, and he talks about his team's preparation.
"Their football team that won 10 football games a year ago played very well defensively, had some big moments on offense, and have some good football players on both sides of the football. Obviously, last year, what they did defensively, they were very opportunistic, creating turnovers and fumbles and leading the league in that category. A lot of positives to their team."
That game will kick off at 1 on Sunday. In other Bengals news, they have placed receiver Andrew Hawkins on injured reserve with the designation for a possible return later this season. With the start of the NFL season just around the corner, some teams are having to make some important decisions, such as the New York Jets and their quarterback situation. Just this morning, they established Geno Smith as their starter over Mark Sanchez. Jets coach Rex Ryan says Smith should be comfortable getting the start this week as a rookie.
"The big thing that we tell Geno was that, you know, you just have to be part of the solution. I've always said it, the quarterback, just go out, play the position, be part of the solution. You don't have to, you know, think you have to, you know, to carry this team on your back. That's not the case."
In other NFL news, the Buffalo Bills have named rookie quarterback E.J. Manuel as their starter for Week 1. Rob Gronkowski spoke for the first time since his back surgery. He said he is improving but didn't set a date to return. And the New York Giants put running back Andre Brown on injured reserve with a designation for a possible return. Despite blowout losses to Clark County and Lawrence County, Rowan football coach Kyle Singleton insists the Vikings aren't that far away from getting into the win column. After watching the video of the Lawrence game, Singleton says a lack of execution cost the Vikings several chances to make big plays that could have changed the outcome.
"We just get some breakdowns as far as mentally and breakdowns as far as our fundamentals. So we've just kind of gone back and showed them some of the films, and some of the clips of some of the big plays that, you know, that occurred in that game. And, you know, it kind of gave our kids kind of a little bit of a sick feeling in their stomach to see how close we were to being right there in it and even having a chance to win."
The 0-2 Vikings will visit Mason County on Friday night. The Royals opened their schedule last Friday night with a 34-16 demolition of Boyd County. The Moorhead State volleyball team plays its home opener tonight. The 1-2 Eagles will battle Marshall at 7 at Weatherby Gym. Coach Jamie Gordon says a non-conference match is a key one for MSU.
"This is a part of the season that we're looking at. Hey, we've got a big home stand. We've got, I believe, 7 straight home matches for us, and that's going to be important that we take advantage of that, and that's something that we want to make sure that we can carry on into the conference play because you really need to defend that home court."
After tonight, the MSU volleyball team will look forward to hosting the Comfort Inn and Suites Classic this weekend. The event will include IUPUI, St. Louis, and Montana State. And finally, Moorhead State soccer coach Warren Lipka isn't dismayed by the Eagles' 0-3-1 start to this season. Led by the likes of Ohio State and West Virginia, Lipka notes that MSU has faced some very tough competition so far, but that was his goal when he set up the Eagles' schedule.
"The record doesn't mean anything to me right now. You know, I could schedule RPIs of 300 and 275s and things like that, but I'm just not that type of coach. My overall record isn't really what I care about. It's about how we're going to develop our team and how we're going to get ready to get into the NCAA tournament and the conference play."
The MSU soccer team returns to Jane Stadium on Friday night to entertain Northern Kentucky at 6. That's a look into the world of sports. Have a great evening. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Season tickets are now on sale for the 2013 football schedule, featuring home games with Eastern Kentucky, Dayton, San Diego, and Butler. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks ended higher for a second session as the Dow jumped close to 100 points and Syria remains in focus. And, of course, in some economic news today, the Fed's upbeat beige book helped to contribute to the market strength. And, of course, the White House continued to press its case for military action in Syria. Big winners on the Dow today included Intel and Coca-Cola, while Microsoft was among your would be your biggest laggard on the Dow Industrials. And the CBOE Volatility Index, which is considered the best gauge of fear in the market, declined so that it finished near 16. And at the 4 o'clock close, the Dow Industrials, as mentioned, with a strong gain of 96.91 to finish at 14,930.87. The S&P 500 was up 13.31 at 1653.08, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 36.43 at 3649.04. New York Stock Exchange of breadth was 21-15 positive. Gold was down 1.3%, and oil was down 1.2%. And according to the Federal Reserve's beige book, the U.S. economy expanded at a modest to moderate pace in most of the country between early July and late August, and its region-by-region assessment of the economy suggests that the economy is reaching a point where the central bank can possibly pull back on its asset purchase program known as QE. And also today, President Obama continued to urge lawmakers to approve his plan for a military strike on Syria, and during a news conference in Stockholm, he added that the international community's credibility is on the line. Obama's remarks came a day before the G20 summit in St. Petersburg. Also today, the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Panel passed authorization for use of a military force in Syria. In economic news, the U.S. trade deficit increased 13.3% to $39.1 billion in July, according to the Commerce Department. Economists prior to the report had expected the deficit to be $38.7 billion. And weekly mortgage applications climbed for the first time in 4 weeks as rates declined from their highest level this year, although demand for purchase loans dipped, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 24 cents at $87.71. CSX up 38 cents at $25.29, AEP up 5 cents at $42.21, AK Steel down a penny at $3.34, Marathon Petroleum up 22 cents at $73.66, and Community Trust Bank was up a penny to finish at $37.90. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. From small towns to big cities, wherever you go in Kentucky, there's a good chance you'll see a Toyota Camry. And for good reason. It's America's best-selling sedan made right here in the Bluegrass. But Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky does more than build world-class cars in Kentucky. They're an important part of our communities, providing thousands of jobs and millions in donations to local organizations. Toyota is honored to be a part of your community.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly clear, areas of fog late, lows from around 54 in valleys to around 59 on ridges. Thursday, areas of fog in the morning, otherwise mostly sunny, highs in the lower 80s, and it's currently 77 degrees in Morehead.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Shelby Steele, Chase Scott, Joshua Grandison, Sam Steyard, Caleb Noe, and Jordan Simonson. Erica Peterson from Kentucky Public Radio also contributed to our broadcast. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kayla Hall and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.